I had pitched this idea and I said, you know, I can see that self-publishing is making a big impact on the market right now. I think that we can't just ignore it.
This is Can Do, Lessons from Savvy Montana Entrepreneurs, a podcast that explores why Montana leads the nation in entrepreneurship and business startups. I'm Arnie Sherman. This show is made possible with support from the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans. Danica Winters, archaeologist, award-winning writer, author of 15 published books and short stories, marketing and social media guru, founder of a digital publishing services company, sought-after speaker, wife, mother of two. If Danica sounds like a superwoman or the heroine of a Harlequin romance novel, you are right, almost. Danica is a writer for Harlequin, partner in a self-publishing services company with 30 contract employees, a Montanan who runs her empire from Frenchtown, Montana. We'll find out how this all came about and lessons you can learn from her experience on this episode of Can Do, Lessons from Savvy Montana Entrepreneurs.
Thanks for having me, Arnie. I appreciate
it. It's a pleasure to see you again, Danica.
Well, thank you. You make me sound so cool.
Well, your life is just sort of like a whirlwind. You have a new book out, right?
Yeah, it's actually the fourth book I've had come out this year of eight. So I have eight full-length novels hitting the market this year.
And I understand the latest one is only going to be on the shelf for a few more days and then gone. Is that how that works now? It's a whole different world.
Well, you know, scarcity in marketing is kind of the go-to for a lot of publishers, especially for HarperCollins, Harlequin Intrigue line. They try to run lots of sales in a single time period through the scarcity marketing plan, which is interesting, and it's a lot different than what I typically do, but it's been so successful. And, I mean, if you look at, like, Hatchimals, have you seen those,
yes,
the hatch animals,
yeah,
or whatever,
yeah,
they are? They're like, ooh, it's rare. And that drives those kids. It's the same philosophy and psychology behind it for these books. And, yeah, so the last month it has been just an absolute whirlwind, like you said, where it's been lots of promotion, lots of ads, lots of time spent just marketing.
And the titles that are coming out now are?
Oh, thank you. It's actually the Mystery Christmas series is the name of the four-book series. It comes out each month between now and December. The first book is Miscalculation.
Right.
Second book that's hitting the store shelves on Monday is Mr. Serious. Then the third book, which hits mid-October, is Mr. Taken. And then the fourth book hitting mid-November through December is Misdemeanor.
I got a new title for you. You got it here first.
Go for it.
Misdirection.
That should be the name of my title. Well, I wrote a book about me.
It's the name of your life. I mean, you started off with a scholarship to the University of Montana in archaeology.
It was actually in writing.
In writing?
Yes. I won a scholarship for poetry.
Uh-huh. So you do have some roots in the writing literature.
I do.
Area.
But when I went to the University of Montana, I actually am a graduate. I'm alum. My dad and my family were like, well, you can't make a living in English unless you want to be a teacher. And I'm like, well, I really don't want to be a teacher. And kudos to those who can do it because it is such an incredibly hard job.
Right.
But I just didn't have the patience for it or maybe the stamina for
right. So
for
then you thought you could make
education.
Money in archaeology?
No. No, absolutely not. But I've always been one who wants to live my life in a way that creates adventure. And I have a birthday wish every year and I don't want to jinx it. But when I blow out my candles, I always say, I just want to be happy this year. And so I've had the same wish.
That's a good goal.
For 20 years and it's been working for me.
So you studied poetry and you had, that's what you went to school for. But how did you get into the romance?
I went to school for anthropology and forensics and I loved it. And I really, and the forensics I think is really what led me into kind of this dark, gritty suspense because I was like, this is just so cool. And my grades were off the chart for this. And I actually was offered a job through the Montana State Crime Lab a few years ago to come in and work with the anthropology degree. So I could have followed that track. But at that time, I was already finding success in writing, so I chose to stick with my path.
So let's talk about the writing part of your life, and then we'll talk about your business side
yeah.
of things. So you go to, as I recall, you go to Seattle.
Every year.
And you worked for a while in Seattle for a publisher. In 2009, 2010, you were working for a publishing company in Seattle.
Yeah.
So tell me about that.
So that was a really unique experience.
Because it's nothing related to what you were doing before.
No. Well, I had written a short story at that point. I had been writing for Mama Load magazine here in Missoula. Mm-hmm. Loved it. I think I wrote for every single, I want to say episode, but that's not the right word.
Right. Every single edition of it
for the first 2 years.
Were you
years.
Being paid for that?
No. I mean, it was free writing. And then they had a competition for short fiction. So I wrote that one. Won this with this contest, won some money. I was like, wow, that's really cool. You know, I can actually get paid for my passion. And so then I saw another competition for a short story on Christmas. And I was like, well, I can write Christmas. Cool. So I won that competition. And that was a national competition. And that was so empowering. And I won a publishing contract with that short story. And that short story ended up leading into a career of writing because I was like, gosh, this is fantastic. I really enjoy the experience of the publishing. And I also was writing children's books at that time. And it was just not the right fit for me. So I ended up publishing that Christmas story. The publisher saw what I was doing for marketing online. And that was really when Facebook was really becoming big.
Sure. And, 7-8 years ago.
Yeah. And so she saw what I was doing and she said, I would like to offer you a job. We'll give you all of your royalties. We'll give you everything you want.
And
just
a job.
For us. And a job.
Offer
and you
that's
can't
hard
say
to
no.
pass up. Right, exactly. In Seattle, right?
In Seattle, yeah. And so she, at that point, I think she had about 100 authors that were writing for her company and probably about 200 or 300 books. And so I got to see the backside of publishing, which was really, really cool. You get to see how the meat grinder works. And so I got to learn the business in a really, really proactive way, practical way with hands-on because I would have never had that experience.
And by the time your hands were finished manipulating this company, how many titles and how many authors were there?
Oh, there's probably about, you know, there's turnaround and turnabout.
Sure.
So there was probably still about 400 at that time when I left. And I left because she goes, well, I had pitched this idea and I said, you know, I can see that self-publishing is making a big impact on the market right now. I think that we can't just ignore it, and especially as a traditional publisher. And I said, why don't we open up an arm of this company that focuses on self-publishing? What we'll do is we'll offer services to author a la carte, basically, without taking any of their royalties. And she goes, well, that's a really cool idea. And she sat on it, and we were speaking in Spokane at the Get Lit Festival a few weeks later.
Yeah.
And we met there, and she was like, you know, I really want to do this. What do you say we split profit? And I said, you know, it's really hard working with somebody in Seattle when I'm so far away. Communication is key in running mm-hmm. a successful business. And with such a distance and such, you know, you have time zone differences, you have so much going on. I said, you're so focused here. I'm going to quit. I know.
Right,
that was such a huge problem.
Just what she
problem.
Wanted to hear
exactly.
from you, right?
Exactly. I know. But it was more of a shove, you know, into that. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't have an option. And I said, you know, I'd rather do this on my own. And so we separated and I came back and I was involved with a group of awesome, awesome writers.
So you have the self-publishing company, you know.
Yeah.
And you also are continuing to write.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So you're in essence a customer of your own company.
I totally am. But it was great because I get to take my own books or take my friend's books and say, let's run this and see how this works. Let's market it this way and see if it's successful and see if things are growing here. So it's almost like an opportunity to study the market hands-on.
Wow.
It's great.
We're listening and talking with Danica Winters, author and partner, your partner in Self Publishing Services, Inc., right?
Mm-hmm.
So there are ups and downs in any of these, you know, business cycles, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And as you have shared with me before, and I'll share with our listeners, your first editor, promoter, quit on you, right?
Well, you mean agent.
Your agent, yes.
Oh, that one will make me cry. Yeah, so I actually wrote, well, let's see. I was, I think, 4 books into my career, 4 novels that had been picked up by now what is Simon & Schuster. So that was
And you
pretty
sold
amazing.
Your first novel to Simon & Schuster on Twitter?
No, but good question. That was actually the book that led into losing my agent, which is a great story. No, so I actually wrote a book.
I'm glad you're laughing about losing your agent because most people would be,
Oh,
you know,
at the
crushed.
Moment I was not laughing. I was absolutely crushed. I thought my career was over. And in writing, you'll find that that probably happens more often than not. Because they're
well,
you
often
take some
writers
big
have
hits.
Enough problems trying to write, let alone.
Yeah.
You know, so their egos are pretty fragile. You don't seem to have one of those, but.
Well, thank
a
you.
Lot writers, a lot of writers do, and to have an agent. You
yeah,
know,
you have to have a,
you.
And that's one of those things. I actually do a lot of writing coaching. I take on new authors or people who really have this dream. Right now I'm working with somebody from KACI. She's awesome. And I said, the most important thing in this business is having a thick skin. But back to the topic at hand
yes.
with losing the agent, I think actually it happens a lot because sometimes personalities don't mesh and I'm very aggressive in business. I think that that is what has made me successful because if I wasn't, I would be in a fetal position crying, right? I mean,
and you wouldn't be a good guest on the show.
No, absolutely
not.
And so, yeah, she got my first book and I had really focused it on domestic violence and the impact it had on every socioeconomic
level.
Well,
that's not normally a topic for a harlequin romance.
Well, it wasn't for harlequin. I wrote it as a women's fiction. So it was about 80,000 words long, which is way too long for a harlequin entry.
And how long did it take you to write that?
A year, because it was really a hard subject. Anymore, I'm down to 17, 19 days to write a full novel.
A full novel?
A full novel. It's crazy. But that one took me a year just because I would get so angry, like so viscerally angry with these characters that I'd have to walk away. And so I brought that to my agent at the time and I said, here's what I'm coming up with. I really love this topic. I really love this book. Let me know what you think. 2 days later, she quit. She dropped me. And she goes, I just can't sell this. In the meantime, in those 2 days, she had already submitted it to 4 publishers without reading it, and she left me. So at the time, I was supposed to go to Dallas to teach. I was supposed to go to Dallas to speak and do book signings and all the promo that goes with being an author. And I was like, gosh, I really don't want to go. Like, my heart's broken. This is the end. Why am I spending this money and going to promote these books that are the end of my career? And so my husband said, you know, just go see what you can do, see what you can drum up and be inspired just and see where you want to go with your life. And luckily I have a really strong support system. So I went down there and I had agents that were coming up to me. They weren't my number one agents, but they were agents that were very keen on taking me on, having seen my sales record. And so I was like, well, you know, maybe I came home with a new attitude and I just thought, you know, this I can keep going. So I picked out my 3 dream agents and ended up signing with one within the week. And within the week, a day later, they had signed me with Harlequin. The book actually went to auction, but in 24 hours, we had a 5-figure offer from HarperCollins, thanks to Twitter.
So that's the complete story.
That's the complete story.
So Danica Wintus, what is it about you that gets people like the woman in Seattle who hired you to do marketing and other things for a publishing company when that's not your background and training? It's not it's not on your resume. And then what is it about you that led you to come here to start a full business around that now has 30 employees?
I think it's passion. I mean, if you put your heart and soul into anything, whatever you sparks
your
fire.
Yeah, but you can put heart and soul into being a rocket scientist. You can't be. How did you learn to do what you do?
Hands-on. Practical education. And you know,
because other writers are now coming to you for your expertise.
Absolutely. And I'm actually flying to Detroit on Monday to teach a marketing class for 3 hours. They're flying me over.
And
they're
paying
everything.
Did you ever take a marketing class?
Never.
No. So
not one at the university.
You're just a self-made woman.
I'm proud to say that, yeah, I've just spent hours and hours and hours educating myself online, the old school. I have a book right now on marketing sitting on my desk that I'm reading and I'm highlighting and I'm going through because the thing about marketing is it's always changing. And so I try to get one of those Marketing for Dummies books every single year and just to hone my skills because I was out of it for about 6 months with just focusing on writing this year. And I was like, gosh, I'm behind. And I absolutely was. I mean, just in 6 months.
So lots of people think they can write. Lots of people think they have great stories. I'm sure you're approached every time you're out, I got a great story for you.
Oh, yeah.
What advice do you give to somebody who wants to start a writing career?
Oh, man, that's a good question. Sit down, get your butt in the seat and write. I mean, that's the key to it. You can start with anything. You can start with a grocery list and you can turn that into something, but you can't do writing if you're not actively writing.
Yeah. You know, it's an important topic because while when you're talking about startups and entrepreneurship, you don't always think about writing, but the creative arts mm-hmm. are a large part of any state's economy. And in Montana, probably 11 to 12% of the people of the state are employed in writing or artistry or of some sort or another. And, there's no place for them to really go. Lots of times I find there are great artists or great writers who are terrible business people.
Oh, that is
but you got the combination
so
of both.
True. And I think that's actually what's made me successful in this business is that ability to be right-brained and left-brained when it applies. A lot of authors I know that are just tremendously, tremendously skilled are very right-brained. Mm-hmm. And so they end up never really making it. And that's too bad because we're losing so much talent. And I just think that's an indicator of the market and the stage and of our culture and kind of where America's going right now. And it's too bad because we are losing some really, really great voices because they just can't get out there and they can't get out of their introverted shell, you know. And if you're one of those types of people, if you're sitting there listening and going, gosh, that is so me, I hear you. I can be an introvert too, but you have to put that to the side sometimes just to be heard. Mm-hmm. And especially if you're sitting with the editors. So if you have a project that's actually done, one of the most successful things and productive things you can do once you have a finished product, I mean, edit it first, but is to sit down and find a conference that's close to you that matches your brand. So if you're a romance writer, there's a really great conference. Like he said, I go to Seattle.
Right.
Yeah, I go to Seattle every year. These people are my best friends. There's about 400 people that go there, and we all know each other by first name. What it does is it opens a lot of doors. You know,
sure.
We end up...
Well, what's interesting about romance novels, Harlequin, you know, romance, is that most people sort of... You know, you see it when you're walking through the grocery store or you can sometimes see it on Amazon. But people don't realize what a big segment now it is of your writing marketplace. I mean,
oh, my gosh.
Huge.
Well, it's always been a huge, huge draw.
But it's been sort of like not considered on par with, you know, literature, right?
Oh, I still hear that.
Yeah.
It's
but it makes a lot of money.
Ridiculous. Romance and the romance genre probably makes up about 72% is the last figure I heard of publishing, period,
really?
In money taken in every year.
That's
I mean,
huge.
It's multi-billion dollar industry. It's crazy. I mean, it's but nobody talks about it. It's kind of everybody's dirty little secret.
Right.
They don't want to have their Harlequin cover on the airplane where people are going to see what they're reading. And that's, I mean, it's crazy because obviously we're just, I'm going to spitball here, but I think Harlequin Intrigue in a single month probably sells at least, 150,000 copies.
A
single month. And they run 12 months a year.
That's
just
incredible.
One line within one
sure.
publishing bracket of a big company.
So in your writing, did you have is there somebody that influenced your writing? Is there someone that you admired? Is there someone who's
Oh, there's
work?
Some great, great people
I mean, do you have
here.
A mentor? I mean, that beside what you read, you know, you're a voracious reader, obviously, but are there people that are mentors or motivators to you?
You know, I had my butt in the seat in conferences, and I sat and I just listened for a long time. For the first 2 or 3 years, I came in with the attitude, I know nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Teach me the way, sensei, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is a really good attitude if you really are just learning a skill, and no matter what it is, because if you come in knowing everything, nobody's going to want to help you.
Right.
So I came in, I joined a writer's group here in Missoula. The people were like, let me show you the way. And we sat down, we wrote pitches. We ended up winning awards for these pitches we wrote as a group, which is really cool. And then we made a group, a Montana Romance Writers Association group, part of the National RWA organization. And I got to meet all of the romance writers in our state. There's about 12,
mm-hmm.
which isn't that many, but... They were tremendously helpful.
So let me switch gears here for a minute. I want to talk about the business part of this.
Yeah.
So you learned this. I understand you're a writer. You found agents. You know, you've gone to conferences. But you're now running a company with 30 people that you're contracting with to do work for you. You've lured your husband into working in the business
I
as well,
have,
right?
Yeah.
How did you become a businesswoman along with being a writer? What skills did you possess or how did you build this business?
Well,
it's very hard to start something like this.
Yeah, I started the business
scratch.
Before I signed with Harlequin, first of all, because I just didn't know where my career was going to go. And you always need that secondary income, like the fallback, right?
Right.
And I had
the real job.
The real job. I don't want to talk about what people have said to me about writing and how it
sure.
is ridiculous. But
in your case, it seems to motivate you rather than dissuade you from doing it.
Exactly. I'm kind of fiery.
That's good.
Yeah.
Like many of your characters in your book.
Oh, I don't know. Talking about? I don't know where those inspirations come from. Yeah, so I sat down and I was like, gosh, this is just, who do I know that would be a good fit for this company? And I ended up taking it to two ladies who I was in the writer's group with. One was at the time the editor for the MSN homepage.
Mm-hmm.
So just amazing. So, 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 so smart. And the other was at one time a CEO for AT&T. But retired. And I just, this woman was linear. She had a business plan. She had, we actually wrote a procedure for writing a procedure. I'm not kidding. For our company. So thanks to this woman. And it's a really, really, I'm thankful we had her. But we ended up buying her out and replacing her with somebody who worked for the downtown organization here in Missoula because she had a marketing background. So that was really it. You know, you have fluxes in business, and that definitely happened with us, where we were vetting not only the owners, but we were vetting our subcontractors and our freelancers. And now we've gone from second-tier freelancers to just these incredible employees. So we have people that are editors for HarperCollins that freelance. We have editors that are agents that freelance as, I mean, professional literary
agents.
And
what are the services? I'm writing a book.
Great.
What do I need you for?
Well, you can start with soup to nuts is kind of what we call it in the business, but where you have somebody to sit down and read your book and go, you know, these are the plot holes. This is where I like to start with people.
So you have content people that look
at your... We have content people. We have developmental edit. We have substantive edit, which is breaking apart those sentences that don't work. I'm looking for mixed metaphors. I'm looking for characters that are unnecessary. I'm looking for story structure. I'm looking for pacing and beats. That's actually kind of where I started, because I can tear a book apart and rebuild it and make it something really, really beautiful. But I'm not a copy editor. So then we have copy editors who sit down and go, missing commas, missing this sentence doesn't make sense. Then we have proofreaders on staff that just sit and read the book before it goes out, make sure it's totally clean. Then we, from that point, we format the books. There's so many ways to produce a book now. So you can go digital, you can go paperback, you can go hardback, you can go, I mean, so many options.
Wow.
So we sit down and we kind of decide what a person wants to do. Like, do you want to have a digital brand?
And can this be nonfiction as well as
fiction? Oh, absolutely. We've worked with so many different types of writing. We've worked with cookbooks and poetry and honorary books.
What about academic books?
Academics. We've worked with dissertations. I'm working with somebody that's actually working on building the forestry building out here at the university about their brand and where they want to move forward, because we do a lot of that. I mean, you can't hire me and not expect to get a little bit of marketing along with it, because I just can't
help
myself.
You get all of you, not part of you.
Exactly, exactly. But I'm definitely a person that leans in.
You lead an exciting life. And
it's so much fun.
We appreciate you coming in and talking with us today.
Absolutely.
Danica Winters, award-winning writer, author of 15 published books, media guru, founder of a digital publishing company. You do it all. And we're so happy to have you share that with us.
Well, thank you, Arnie. And thank you for everybody who's helping with this podcast. I can't express how much I appreciate the local support and national support in listening. If you have any questions, don't be afraid to reach out and ask. I'm always available
at Danica Winters. Thank you, Danica. I appreciate your listening to Can Do, Lessons from Savvy Montana Entrepreneurs, produced by Autumn Barnes and Beth Ann Austin in association with Montana Public Radio. For comments, recommendations for future guests, or general information, please go to mtpr.org. There you can also find previous guest contact information and content from previous shows. This show is made possible with support from the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans. Listen next time to hear from Nick Chakota talking about his work as the music mogul of Missoula, Montana. Once again, I'm Arnie Sherman wishing you peace and prosperity.